Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in. On the phone line now is Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini from House Smarts Radio, Saturdays from 6 to 10. Lou, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, did you see the story about Mrs. O'Leary's house?
I didn't see. I just saw the headline.
Yeah, 18-bedroom, 10-bath house on West Garfield. Her son was a little sideways, I think, with the gamblers and built this huge mansion that's for sale. We're going to talk about it later today. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 if you have a question for Lou when it comes to your house and all of this. You know, you and I have been talking for 25, 30 years. Sometimes when I have questions about my house, I call you, or if you have questions about your house, you call me, and I help out in any way I can. I don't remember a time when I've had so many icicles on my house. There's not much you can do, right, at this point?
Well, you know, I was driving with my wife today and in our neighborhood, and she said the same thing. I mean, we literally on our own home have these gigantic icicles hanging down. And it really is the perfect storm when you look at the weather that we've had over the past, I guess, 3 weeks now. Heavy, heavy snow, really, really cold temperatures, which means your furnace or the boiler is running nonstop. And even the most well-insulated attic spaces, you're going to, you know, lose some heat because it's running so often. Mm-hmm. And then with the thick blanket of snow on top of it, well, it acts like literally a blanket. So it's holding the heat in, reflecting some of that sunlight. But as the heat hits the snow that's closest to the shingles, it starts to freeze. And now, you know, it's hilarious is, you know, what was it today? 20 degrees? You know, normally we'd be complaining about that. I was out shoveling because the snowplow, you know, had come through our street and put that giant pile at the end of the driveway. And, I mean, I was sweating, you know, because, like, wow, it's 20 degrees out. What a difference, you know, when you get away from those sub-zero temperatures. And so it's tough, and people are going to have issues with water leaking because that ice, as it melts and then it refreezes at night, it expands, it lifts up underneath the shingles. And so there are a few things that people can do.
You've talked before about filling a nylon or pantyhose with an ice melt and tossing it up on the roof.
Well, I mean, that's one way. But, you know, if you can locate a roof rake, which you can find at the hardware store or the home center, you know, these are these plastic. They cost about $50 or so. And, you know, it's a highly specialized tool, right? It's just a really long rake. And if you can reach, depending on the height of your roof, you know, that first couple of 3 feet of snow that's just above the gutter line, that will expose so the sun can actually get to it and start to melt that ice that's there more quickly and probably eliminate the icicles that are forming. And the other thing, too, is another hot commodity, the you know, the paper towel and toilet paper of COVID, is these roof melt calcium chloride pucks mm-hmm. that you can throw under the roof that comes in a tub, and you can kind of toss those up. And you're going to need to toss several of them up there. You know, a lot of people throw one or two, and they're like, I'm not getting any, you know, I'm not seeing any benefit here, but you really do have to throw a fair amount of them up there. And then your point about the nylons, if you can fill that with calcium chloride, you're probably going to have to put a ladder up next to the home to do that, which, you know, that's a tough piece of advice to give because it's so snowy and so icy on the ground. I'm very cautious about people doing
well, that. What's the not the danger of getting on the ladder, I get that, but, I mean, of just letting nature and melting take its course. I mean, you're trying to prevent the ice dams, but you're right. My gutter, I have one gutter that's just completely filled, iced over at this point. I mean, I suppose that could pull away from the exterior wall, but should I worry about
it? A lot of weight. And so I've already gotten pictures and emails from people about, you know, gutters that have separated from the roof. The real issue with not doing anything, Steve, is You know, if you're fortunate enough that you don't see any evidence of leaking, then okay, let's just roll the dice. I had an icicle on the side of our home. We live in a two-story home, and our driveway goes right along the house. And so, you know, the gutter is 20-some plus feet in the air, and there was an icicle hanging down that was probably 8 feet long.
Yeah.
And so what worries me is, you know, what if my wife is walking the dog, God forbid, or anybody, you know, walking down the driveway, and that thing breaks loose and conks you on the head. So I'm cautious about telling people to break those off, but if you can, even just a section of it, without, you know, trying to get too close to the gutter, it'll probably, if you took that roof rake with the long pole or, you know, a long broom handle, you just got to be careful, because when you knock it off, you're under this thing, and right. So you got to be very, very careful.
It's called a roof rake, but it's really almost like a shovel you pull, right? I mean, it's...
Right. It's actually, in the concrete trade, there's a tool called a come-along that looks like a rake that you use in concrete when you're pouring concrete. It's exactly what it is. It's come-along with a really, really long aluminum pole that has a little bit of texture spray painted on it, so that when you grab it with your, you know, winter gloves, you can actually grip the shaft of the rake.
I've got one in my garage hanging in the rafters, and because I bought it when I was a new homeowner and all eager. Now I'm just like, yeah, it's going to melt. I'll be fine. Let's
go. Hey, it's like 30 days till spring.
I know it's going to happen. It's going to be in the 30s next week. How long could it take to melt 10 feet of snow? So let's go inside a little bit, because we've talked, and you and I have talked, I guess I think we even just talked about this recently, about space heaters inside the house to keep cold areas of the house warm. And you and I have talked about this radiator type space heater, which we bought, I think it was $60 or $70. And the first few days or weeks, I was like, oh my, this is fantastic. I mean, that's now the kitchen's the coziest part of the house. But Lou, we've started blowing fuses now. Like if we turn on the toaster oven and this baseboard heater is running, we'll blow a fuse. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, remember that, you know, even though this is those heaters, you know, the different types of heaters, they all ultimately use the same amount of electricity. And the vast majority of them, when you have them on high, will pull anywhere from 1,000 watts to 1,500 watts. And your toaster, when you put that on 4 or 5, is doing the same thing. And so the typical 15-amp breaker, you'll pop that breaker all day with that kind of draw. On the lower draws, you're probably like 750 watts. When you think about this, 750 watts on a heater is about what your refrigerator startup is at when it kicks on and that compressor is running. So, I mean, it's a fair amount of draw, and in that, when you talk about the breaker in your kitchen, your fridge is on that, your stove is on that.
TV?
TV doesn't draw that much, but sure. I mean, if it's on there, then it's just a big inconvenience.
So then if someone is dealing with that and they have to continually go to the basement to pop the circuit, is that a concern, or if you're willing with making the trip to the basement, you just let it keep happening? Because, well, I mean, because you also have warned against, you know, I for very briefly, and then you were standing on my shoulder saying, don't. I thought, well, maybe I'll get an extension cord and run it to a different circuit.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that, right?
Very apprehensive about extension cords. Now, they do make something called an appliance extension cord, which is a very heavyweight, like a number 12 wire, that you could plug a refrigerator into. And so, in theory, you could do that, and they make those, you know, as long as 12 feet. But the issue there is when you plug in an extension cord, you have to be very mindful. It has to be properly sized. You cannot, under any circumstances, use a household type of cord to feed a space heater. That will catch on fire. That will overheat and ignite and cause a fire. And so, for the sake of argument, I just always tell people, don't use extension cords. Only use the cord that comes with the unit. Now, I just contradicted myself, but you right. could use an appliance cord that's rated for heavier loads. But yeah, if you go to a different circuit where you could plug that in, that should solve the problem. You know, is it a problem that you keep blowing the breaker? Well, the breaker's doing exactly the job it's designed to do. It's just a big inconvenience.
You know, I know a lot of people are worried about the roofs, and we really haven't addressed that. A lot of people have talked about it today. Should we? I mean, I've got a flat roof. I've got no idea how much snow is up on my house. I can't see it. I mean, should people be concerned about that?
They should, a little bit. I mean, here's the thing with kind of the construction that is in the Midwest, right? It's all about the way roofs are designed. You know, if we look at structures that have been built in the last probably, I mean, I'd go back even, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, you've got what's called like a 40-pound live load. I was doing a little research to kind of get a feel for how much snow weighs. And if you have about a foot and a half of snow, which could conceivably be what's up on most people's homes, a 12 by 12 by a foot and a half tall, that snow weighs about 15 pounds. Now, we have some pretty light snow. You know, for those that have been doing shoveling around here, it's not super heavy, but as the temperatures drop and it becomes more saturated, it gets heavier. But so that 15 pounds is probably a realistic number. But your roof is designed for 40 pounds per square foot live load.
So, okay.
So you should be okay. And the steeper the roof, you know, I know your home, but the part of your house has pretty steep roof. But the flat roof that's sitting there, those are areas where you could go find that roof rake. And, you know, even if you took off, you know, a couple of feet of the snow from the perimeter of it, it's going to help. And, you know, it was interesting, these stories about these roofs that have collapsed on these commercial buildings.
Right.
I just briefly saw a couple of the stories. And what's interesting about those roofs that collapsed, to me, the two buildings that I saw on television were those barrel type of roofs. You know,
yeah, like the old coal stores. We got to make room for news here, Lou Manfredini. But thank you for your help today.
You got it, bud. Talk to you later.
House Smarts Radio, 6 to 10 on Saturday mornings.